This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Get ready to hear the truth about America on a show that's not immune to the facts with your host, Dan Bongino.
All right, so I'm a little worried about something. We got elections today in Pennsylvania. I'm very concerned about what's going to happen in these elections. There's a lot going on. I've got an update on that. I've got an update, another thing I'm a little concerned about. There's been some growing information and concerns about the vaccine, myocarditis, potential endothelial damage. I've got an update on that, a video by Dr. Robert Malone, one of the pioneers of mRNA research, and also Elon. Elon dropped a bomb on the Twitter deal. Loaded show for you today. Stay tuned. Today's show brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online activity today from the prying eyeballs of big tech. Get a VPN like I have. Go to expressvpn.com/Bongino. Welcome to the Dan Bongino Show. On this election Tuesday, we got Idaho, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, a lot going on. So let's dig right into the show. If you're looking for a firearm that's easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from Henry Repeating Arms. It's a portable rifle you can put together and take apart in a few minutes. And then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case it comes in. It's so small, it can be stored anywhere, in a go bag, anywhere. It's light enough to carry everywhere. Comes in black and two different camo patterns. You can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. You can watch a few videos at henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, be sure to order their free catalog. Henry makes more than 200 rifles, shotguns, and revolvers, and they're all made in America, backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website. It's henryusa.com, and be sure to order a free catalog. They'll send it with free decals and a list of dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com for a free catalog and decals and to see the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle.
All right, Joe, let's go. Busy day today.
Showtime,
Dano. A lot going on today. A lot to get to. I promise we are going to get to the elections, this vaccine update, Elon, all of it. Just stay tuned. But first, folks, again, the left, just grotesquely, we have not even had funerals yet for some of the victims tragically killed by a murderer in Buffalo. We haven't had the funerals yet. And yet again, the left, which doesn't seem to care and doesn't talk at all anymore about the New York City subway shooter, the Waukesha attack. That you don't hear a lot about that. Interestingly enough, you don't even hear about the California attack that happened this weekend, apparently, according to allegations that have surfaced by a Chinese Communist Party, an immigrant to the country who's upset about Taiwan's independence, according to some reports. That's weird. You don't hear about that. That's because the left, candidly, doesn't care. They're not interested in the death and destruction and stopping it or anything like that. What they're interested in is scoring a political victory here, which is disgusting with a capital D. But that's who they are. That's the world we've been given. And that's the political opponents who we have to deal with. Do not be intimidated. Speak the truth. There is power and truth. There is a coordinated right now, and make no mistake, it is a coordinated effort to use bloodshed and death in Buffalo to advance totalitarianism, to advance the connected elite oligarchy censorship mechanisms, and to politically target you and shut you down. Make no mistake, it is happening. You have my word. I get it from very well-sourced people. This was a coordinated effort. They were waiting for the trigger, no pun intended, and it happened. They don't care about this tragedy, folks. Here's what I mean. Here's a question, and I put a wink and a nod. Joe, it's a question. Yeah, this isn't a suggestion. This is a question. Okay. From a media person yesterday, I think it's Cecilia Vega in the press room, asking the new, helplessly unprepared press secretary, obsessed with calling everyone in America racist, Karine Jean-Pierre, asking a question. It's not a question. This was just a, hey, let's talk about this. How do we set this up? This is the media government symbiote. You'll see it right here on display. Asking about, hey, You know, now that we've got this Buffalo shooting that we can take advantage of, even though the funerals haven't happened because we're disgusting people and we don't really care about stopping this stuff. We care about using it. Maybe we should start targeting individuals. This is, again, a question. Check this out.
There's polling that shows 1 in 3 Americans believe in some element of replacement theory. You just spoke in very broad brushstrokes there. Are there specifics that this White House is willing to do, willing to take in order to stop this form of thinking from further seeping out of the fringe and into the mainstream?
So, you know, we're going to continue to call this out. As we have talked about many times, the president at every chance he's had, when we've seen a violent attack like this, that is, as we say, with hatred and racially motivated, he calls it out and calls it what it is.
He does. He calls it what it is. Racially motivated attacks. Joe, did we miss him calling out the racially motivated Waukesha attack?
We must have.
Yeah. Gee, we missed it, correct?
Yeah.
You know, it's your job, guys, as producers. Come on. You're on the freaking ball. You wasted my time here. You have to get a new crew in here. I don't know how we miss that. I mean, I'm on it too every morning. Justin, come on. Even though you're at school and you just came back, I mean, it's your job. You got our email. Nobody sent it. Kind of weirdo. Joe Biden's press secretary says he calls out racially motivated attacks. But he only seems to call out racially motivated attacks when the press asks him a question that they think they can leverage into a way to target and censor conservatives. That's just really, really, again, Doctor Strange levels of multiverse of madness thing. It's really just bizarre how we all keep missing it, right? Now, notice what the reporter there asked Karine Jean-Pierre. Hey, man, we got to really stop this replacement theory stuff from spreading. Here's what's really going on, as I discussed with you yesterday. Replacement theory is a leftist conspiracy theory. The proof is everywhere. It's not a matter of my opinion. It is a fact. And because the left is advancing this conspiracy theory, and the left is advancing this idea of open borders, they don't want you to highlight their conspiracy theory. So they think by making it a right-wing conspiracy theory, they can shut you down. Hey, Karine Jean-Pierre, you know, anybody who talks about this replacement theory, we should really target them. Karine Jean-Pierre is like, yeah, definitely. Here's ABC's Rick Klein doing exactly that. It's an article about the primary races, but he notes in ABC News. Believe me, they're all part of this, folks. It's pathetic. Do not be intimidated for a second. You can and should hold two simultaneous thoughts. The tragedy in Buffalo requires our attention, our sympathy, our empathy, and some solutions. And second, you will not be silenced and intimidated by hacks and goons in the media. Don't give a damn about the people who died, because it's true. Here, about replacement theory, which again is a leftist conspiracy theory. Rick Klein, ABC. The conspiracy theory is rooted in the claim that there's a plot through demographic change and immigration to lessen the influence of white people by outnumbering them. Really? Okay, hold on. It's a subject of the Buffalo Shooters manifesto there. While there's a well-documented history, and they note that all the victims there were black, by the way. While there's a well-documented history in this country of threats and acts of racially motivated violence that coincide with people of color seeking and gaining political power, he's totally throwing that in there to stir the flames of division. The intensity of this theory, replacement theory, folks, has grown in dark corners of the internet in recent years. Dark corners of the internet? It has. How dark are those corners? CNN, the New York Times are there, the Center for American Progress, a major left-leaning group. We're really dark corner. Hold on. Hold that idea. Joe, Gee, Justin, hang, stand easy, as you say in the police academy. The theory of replacement theory has grown in the dark corners of the internet. Hold that in your head. Because now, as always, the Democrats never, ever let a crisis go to waste. All of a sudden, look what pops up. Check out this Axios article. Oh, Buffalo shooting spurs a congressional response. Notice not the Waukesha attack, not the New York attack in the subway. Not that. Not the shooting in the ball field of Steve Scalise and other members of Congress by a Bernie supporter. Not that. The Buffalo shooting spurs congressional. Axios in on all this too. driving the news, Axios notes, folks, the Domestic Terrorism Prevention Act. Joe, you can't vote against that.
Who could?
Who doesn't vote against a domestic terrorism prevention? My gosh. It was put on ice last month amid objections from progressive lawmakers, but it will be taken up on Tuesday. What timing? And the panel's chair, a Democrat from Massachusetts, McGovern, notes, I think it takes on an urgency given current events. Wow, really? Not Waukesha, the New York subway attack. It gives it now. House Speaker Pelosi asked about the status of this Domestic Terror Prevention Act on Monday and told reporters it's in play. The bill would create offices within the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, DOJ, and the FBI focused on domestic terrorism. Always right. Yes, sir, you are 100% correct, Mundo. And Joe doesn't even get these elements. Joe does the audio video. He hasn't even seen this before. Yeah. Yeah, DHS, DOJ, and the FBI have done such a good job. I mean, targeting school parents, targeting Donald Trump, targeting Donald Trump's foreign policy advisors, targeting Mike Flynn. Yeah, sure, we can trust them. Domestic terrorism, sure. Let me just sum that up for you. They're going to use this as an excuse to, in conjunction with the Ministry of Truth and the DHS, to go and target conservatives for political targeting and censorship. Take it to the bank, cash that check. The verdict is in. That is an absolute fact. Now you see why I highlight this stuff? Why we can't sadly even allow, let these people just be mourned in peace on the left? They can't do it. They can't do it. They've got to take it. It takes on an urgency. Nancy Pelosi notes it's in play. Now, remember what I showed you before, Rick Klein at ABC, who used to be a sane guy. Now he's just, whatever the talking points are, it's embarrassing. They just promote them. Someone was told in a group, Cecilia Vega, I guess, and I was in a press room, make sure we discuss replacement theory and blame Republicans for this because the shooter, who seemed like a left-wing guy who hated Fox News, because he said it. So, and then Rick Klein notes, replacement theory only exists, folks, in the dark corners of the internet. And he even notes in it, by the way, if you remember what we put up there, that it's this bizarre conspiracy theory, Joe, that the left, that demographics is on their side, that they want more voters to come in from other countries. It's a bizarre conspiracy theory. It is. It's really, again, really strange here. Multiverse madness stuff. Here's CNN, you know, that dark corner of the internet. Here's this aired on CNN, a segment where they're talking about almost literally exactly what Rick Klein calls a conspiracy theory and the dark corners, the bowels, Joe, the colon of the internet. Ooh. CNN, here, check this out.
If the current trends continue, by 2045, the nation will be less than 50% white. True?
Correct. Yes.
And the political implications of this, Dr. Sines, are very significant. Explain what it means in a state like, say, Texas.
Yeah, Texas, you see, these demographic trends have already been playing out. Right now in Texas, the Latino population is about 40% of the population. Whites are about 41% of the population. Demographers project that by 2022, Latinos will become the largest racial or ethnic group in the state of Texas. Yet when we talk about politics, there is a significant lag period here with respect to demographic strength translating to political power.
Thanks, Fox News, for that clip. I'm sorry. That's CNN. Rick Klein, someone should show that to Rick. Now, Guy brings up a good point, Joe. He's, Rick said that this theory only exists in the dark corners and the bowels and the colon of the internet. Brings up a good point. There are probably more people in the dark bowels of the internet than watch CNN, which is the darkest bowel on the internet of all. But someone should send that to Rick. You should find him on Twitter and send him that clip. Say, hey, Rick, that's just, just so odd how you guys keep missing this. How this replacement theory you talk of as a conspiracy theory is actually a tactic spoken about by the left for decades now. Books have been written about it. Weird how this is a conservative thing in the dark bowels and colon of the net. Here's the Center for American Progress, by the way. Major left-wing organization run by a bunch of Hillary, Obama types.
CAP, Center for American Progress. Immigration is changing the political landscape in key states. Dark bowels of the internet here, folks. The bowels, the colon. They note, quote, quote, to the lefties, that means they said this. Getting right on immigration and getting behind real and enduring immigration reform that contains a pathway to citizenship for the 11 million undocumented immigrants living in our country is the only way to maintain electoral strength in the future. Let me read that last part again. Is the only way to maintain electoral strength in the future. Bowels, the dark bowels of the internet. This is Philip Waljin and Ann Garcia at the Center for American Progress. Look at that. What's the date on that, guys? That's a 2013. My eyes are 2013, right? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
2013. Sounds like they've been talking about this, Joe. Simple math. What? Sounds like nine years, almost 10.
Long time.
Oh, strange. Here's another one. Dark bowels of the internet. New York Times. New York Times, which didn't even hide it. Michelle Goldberg put this up yesterday. This is back in 2018. So we have 4 years ago. It seems like they've been talking about this for a long time, the left and those dark, the dark colon of the internet. The New York Times is the dark colon of the internet, too. Here's a story by Michelle Goldberg about how their new coalition and demographic destiny headline, we can replace them. New York Times, CNN. Center for American Progress. My gosh, what a right. This is a coordinated right-wing conspiracy theory. How am I? Man, busted. Just busted. Here's another one. Here's AOC, hapless congresswoman from New York. One of the dumbest members of Congress. Here she is with Vanita Gupta. Vanita Gupta, who is a far-left radical activist. Far-left radical activist who's in a position of power. I'll get to that in a second right now. Right now. Vanita Gupta. Here's Vanita Gupta and AOC basically laying out how exactly the left's replacement theory. It's a leftist thing. It is a left. I just showed you the proof. It's a leftist thing. Here they're describing exactly how this would work. And what they're talking about here was Donald Trump's efforts to ask in a censorship question, in a census question, if you were a citizen of the United States. Here, listen to this. It's very, very, very important. Check this out.
So let's talk a little bit about the potential outcome of not counting a community, right? So like, let's say I wanted to manipulate people's ability to return the census, or rather their willingness to return the census, kind of spook people out of it. Why would I potentially want to do something like that?
You may want to do it to encourage swaths of communities that are perceived to vote for one party or another to stay out of the census for political gain.
Those are two radical far leftists talking about what Rick Klein, Politico Playbook, Axios and others keep calling a right-leaning conspiracy theory. It's weird how we haven't yet cited any actual conservatives. That it seems to be all liberals discussing replacement theory and how politically advantageous it would be for them to use the politics of illegal immigration to bump up the number of illegal immigrants in the country so that the census numbers would expand so that liberal states like California and New York would be able to gain more representation in the House of Representatives to vote out conservative ideas. It's just really strange. How the left keeps talking about people like us being conspiracy theorists, and yet when that's openly discussed by leftists, what exactly they want to do, it's just completely ignored. No, that the Sergeant Schultz. By the way, who's Vanita Gupta? Here we go. Meet the new Associate Attorney General, August 2021. Vanita Gupta. Now, is Tom Homan, former border executive in the Trump administration, is he a conspiracy theorist too? Because he's addressed exactly what's going on right now. How this has nothing to do with race. Nothing. It never did. Ever. Now, to the left, it does. The conservatives just never had anything to do with race. It had everything to do with the value of United States citizenship and law and order at the border and public safety. But because the left doesn't want you talking about that, they want to turn this around to make you appear like a racist for discussing their ideas. I'll say again before I get to Homan, do not be intimidated. Public safety, law and order, and defensible borders are the only key to keeping a constitutional republic sane. Sane and grounded in constitutional principles. Do not be intimidated. Okay, I got a lot more coming up, including Tom Homan, who, again, if he's a conspiracy theorist, then you might as well just throw the whole thing out. Elon Musk, get an update on that, and a video that's probably one of the most embarrassing episodes we've seen from a military analyst in a long time. Okay, so again, this is all some right-wing conspiracy replacement theory. Weird, because it's all the left seems to talk about. Strange. And then when we address what they're talking about, you're accused of promoting a conspiracy theory. It's really genius when you think about it. And for suckers who get intimidated, oh, back down. You'll be called a racist. How? For highlighting the left's racist ideas? How is that exactly? Here's Tom Homan. This is a great article. Please spread this around. Go to my newsletter today, bongino.com/newsletter. It's an article in Just the News by Nicholas Balazzi. Border enforcement expert. Biden sees future political benefit to an open border. Again, this has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with the illegality of open borders and the Democrats' plan to open our borders, create a public safety national security crisis in order to offset the losses of people moving out of blue states. That's just, they talk about it openly. I just played it. They talk about it openly. Here's what Homan said. They think they'll be future Democratic voters. And they don't even have to vote. They just have to be counted in the census. Because remember, they overturned Trump's census rule too, which is going to result in more seats in the House for Dems. Donald Trump had a question in the census about citizenship. By the way, he's right. It's Freudian slip before. I keep saying censorship because I'm talking about the left. And the left made the ridiculous case, even though the census asked questions like, how many bathrooms do you have in your house and stuff like that, that you couldn't ask about citizenship status. Yeah, I mean, why would the United States care about that question? How many citizens actually live in the United States? I don't know. I have no idea. Do not be intimidated, folks. Get used to this stuff. It is going to happen moving forward. Get used to it. We'll be taking back power in 2022 if we elect the right people. We can stop a lot of this nonsense. All right, moving on, because there's a lot of news today. Elon dropped a bombshell last night on Twitter, indicating that the deal with Twitter may be on pause because of the amount of bot accounts. Now, sounds like something I told you about. I warned you about this. Folks, I'm an investor in the tech space too. I'm not putting myself anywhere close to on par with Elon Musk. Let me be crystal clear on that. I wouldn't embarrass myself. But I have done pretty well in the tech space, picking out good investments and understanding that the market in the future is for free speech. It is. There's going to be some setbacks as communist companies like, you know, Amazon and Google and Facebook and Twitter do everything they can to stop the true socials of the world, the Parlors, the Rumbles. They will. They'll do anything in their power to stop that. But there's no future in censorship in the United States. There's not. Eventually, over time, the market for free speech will win. I'm confident. I'm so confident. I have all of my assets and my kids' assets invested in it. That's how strongly I believe that they can't keep the beach ball of freedom underwater. I'm not kidding. I have bet my entire financial future, every single dollar I have for my future, I have bet on the free speech economy. Paralleleconomy.com, because I know Stripe's not the future either. You can't cancel conservatives and expect conservatives to flock to your platform. They're only 40 to 50% of the country. I'll get to that a little later too. Elon found out going forward that there may be more bots on Twitter than expected. Now, folks, why does this matter? In the tech space, and I remember this from some of my prior deals, the only thing, and current things now, deals I'm doing now, the only thing that matters in the ad space is DMAUs. Remember this term, daily monetizable active users. They don't, advertisers who buy ads on your platform, wherever it is, Facebook, Twitter, Facebook's been in trouble with this in the past, Google, they're not interested in selling to bots and robots. They don't buy anything. They want to sell to human beings. So if you're selling people advertisers, Twitter, and you're selling people, we have whatever, just from around. We have a million users. And you're buying at a certain market rate per, say, 1,000 users. You're being charged for a million users at a rate per 1,000. Well, folks, you're going to pay a lot more for a million users than for 100,000 users. 10 times more. Well, what if they don't have 10 times as many? What if most of those users are bots? You think Elon's dumb? Now, here's the issue. Let me give you some wonkery here. He did his due diligence. He opened the books, and he probably saw something. My guess here is that Twitter's telling him we have this many million users, right? 200 million, whatever it is, plus.
Yeah.
He's looking at the ad revenue they got in, and the ad revenue, as Joe knows from radio and podcasting, and you guys know, the ad revenue, you can always tell who has a real audience and who doesn't. Not by metrics and PodTrack stuff. You know who will tell you? The advertisers. Because if the advertisers buy in a radio show that's got a bull audience, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Has a fake audience. And you're telling them, hey, man, listen, we got 20,000 listeners on our whatever, QXRA radio station, whatever it may be. And all of a sudden they pay all this money and the return on their investment is nothing. And then they go to another station that actually has listeners. And all of a sudden, boom, sales pick up. The advertisers, folks, listen, we're in this business. They call you like that. Hey, this isn't working. Bye now. You notice we don't have people who quit our show. Weird, right? It's because we have an actual real audience. We don't need to fudge our numbers. We're the second largest conservative podcast out there. Elon's probably figuring that out through the ad revenue, that there is no way this revenue corresponds to that many users. No way. Not a chance in hell. So now what happens going forward? A little quick inside baseball here again. Going forward, there's a $1 billion basically bailout fee. Elon can duck the deal, give them $1 billion and walk away. He may do that. I don't think he's going to. I think there's going to be a lawsuit on this. I think Elon may walk. Twitter may sue, but Twitter's going to have to think twice about this. Why, folks? Why is Twitter going to have to think twice about this thing? Because what happens in a lawsuit, Joe? Oh, discovery.
Right.
It's discovery. So you mean in open court, you're going to have to swear under oath that those are your active users? But what if there are a bunch of internal emails that come out in discovery that a bunch of Twitter people freaking out that they don't have that many users and a lot of the platform is spam? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So don't be surprised if that $1 billion walkaway fee, I'm not saying he's going to walk away. I'm just telling you, don't be surprised if that $1 billion walkaway fee gets waived by now. There's no lawsuit at all and Elon and Twitter part ways. He says he wants to go forward with the deal, but I'm telling you right now, he's not going forward with the deal at this price, $54 a share. No way. No way. No way. Fake users. Fake. Hat tip Devin Nunes, who highlighted this problem on Twitter a while ago, because he started up Truth and was like, how is it that we have, what, 1/20th or 1/10th of the users? I don't know what their numbers are. They haven't told. And we have like twice as much engagement. Like, isn't that weird? All right, I'm going to get to another breaking news story about Twitter. The quiet part finally gets said out loud. A guy at Twitter admits, Joe, why do we play the Soviet national anthem? Because they're commies at Twitter. Why do we play everybody pops this. Why? Because they're commies. Now we have, I'm not kidding, a guy literally, not figuratively, admitting that they're commies at Twitter. Hat tip Project Veritas coming up next. Let me get to this first. ExpressVPN. Say you're a proud gun owner and you want to talk on social media about the right to bear arms. You know, your post might get flagged by a content moderator. And what if you end up in some kind of government watch list? Don't laugh it off. To fight back against having your voice censored by both big tech and government, I recommend ExpressVPN at the beginning of every show. Now, when it's your internet activity is your business. Problem with big tech is they can track what you do online. They can sell it. The videos you watch, everything you click on. They can then match your activity, your true identity, using your device's unique IP address. You know that? When I use, and what you use, hopefully, ExpressVPN, they can't see the IP address at all. My identity is anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN encrypts all my internet data for protection from hackers and eavesdroppers. ExpressVPN is by far the best VPN I've tried. Couldn't be easier to use. It is a no-brainer. The app has one button. You tap it, you're protected. It's really that simple. Don't wait. Defend your right to privacy and protect yourself at expressvpn.com/Bongino. Please don't wait. That's expressvpn.com/Bongino to get 3 months free. Protect your online security at expressvpn.com/Bongino. Okay. Stunning video from the journalists of Project Veritas. Journalists out there, Cecilia Vega, others out there. You may want to try this, Rick Klein. You may want to take a look. It's called Journalism. Here is Project Veritas with a Twitter engineer and some undercover video here. And the Twitter engineer in this says, yeah, Twitter's basically full of commies. The left can't argue on Twitter. They hate it, so they want to censor their opponent. But the right loves it. They actually like a debate back and forth. Kind of sounds like something we've all been saying, like, forever.
Yeah.
Here, check this out.
Twitter does not ruin free
speech. What do you mean?
Not being a free speech capitalist. If we weren't really operating in a capitalist mode, we were very socialist. Like, we're all, like, commie-ass.
Ideologically, it does not make sense, like, because we're actually censoring the right, not the left. So if everyone on the right wing would be like, bro, it's okay to say, just gotta tolerate it. The left would be like, no, I'm not gonna tolerate it. I need it censored, or else I'm not gonna be in the country. So it does double right. It's true. There is bias.
When, I don't know if the two parties can truly coexist on one platform.
What do your colleagues say about, like,
they hate it. Oh my god, I'm at least like okay with it, but some of my colleagues are like super left.
What do they say?
They're like, this will be my last day if it happens. So.
Has much changed since like Elon's coming
in? A lot of change. A lot has changed.
Veritas strikes again. Yeah, we're all basically commies at Twitter. And you know, the left, yeah, they love censorship. They don't like to argue. Why don't they think about that, right? We already knew this. Like, I appreciate Project Veritas's work. Now we can confirm what we've already known. But why? Why? Why is that? Why doesn't the left enjoy the back and forth like we do? I mean, I actually have a segment on my show called The Rebuttal where we invite Democrats on. Why do I do? I'm not kidding when I tell you why. Why do I do? Because I enjoy it. That's why I literally enjoy it. Like, I get fulfilled from it. Why? Because I am so confident that the left has no idea what they're talking about, that I invite them on my own show to tell you how little they know. But the left doesn't want that, because the left knows they know little and they don't want to debate because they don't want to be humiliated in public. That's why we can't get leftists. That's why we only do the rebuttal once in a while. We can't get leftists to come on. We can't. If I wasn't contractually bound, I'd go on leftist shows all the time. They know nothing. Nothing about anything. All they know is talking points. That's why that is. That Veritas video about the engineer. There's a reason. He doesn't go into the, you need to go into the reason. Why is the left so afraid of Republicans and so afraid of conservative ideas and so afraid of debate and so in love with censorship? Because they are vapid, empty black holes with double-digit IQs who know nothing about nothing. That's why. There's a reason. Jude, I'm telling you, did you ever notice, like, Mark Levin, his radio show, I mean, he used to keep a line open for liberals. It's a joke, the number was, but he would take liberal calls because they were so dumb, it made great radio. I'm just admitting it. We're all commies here. Yeah, we know. Thanks. This is just a really bad day for Twitter. Guy admits they're commies, admits they hate the Elon deal. Elon outs the fact that most of Twitter is full of bots. There you go. Not a good day. Okay, very serious story here. I got to transition topics here. You know I have been obsessed with this vaccine story, folks. Why? Because I believe in science. Science, data. It is the only path forward. Now, one of the pioneers of mRNA technology, messenger ribonucleic acid technology, which was used in the development of a couple of these vaccines, is a guy by the name of Robert Malone. His credentials are unimpeachable. He has been highlighting, along with Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Cariotti, and others I've had on my Fox show often. Maybe we'll do a segment again this week. I had Dr. McCullough on this past week on Unfiltered on my Saturday show on Fox. But here is Robert Malone, again, one of the pioneers in this. This is a little bit of a long clip. It's about 2 minutes, but it's worth all of your time. He's talking about two specific things about the vaccine. Folks, this concerns me. I've said to you before, when I initially had a cancer diagnosis and was very sick, it was recommended to me by people to get this. I'm starting to get very, very, very concerned about the long-term ramifications of what may happen from the introduction of this vehicle into your body. Here's Dr. Robert Malone talking about two things: myocarditis, heart issues developing from the introduction of these spike proteins. And second, at the end, pay very close attention towards the end of the 2-minute mark. Him and his co-host, I believe this is on a show called High Wire. The co-host brings up dose dependency, how the problem gets worse based on how many doses you've taken, and how throughout the history of pharmacology, this has been an ironclad principle of science. The dose, you ever hear that, Joe, you ever hear this, the dose makes the poison?
Mm-hmm.
It's only been said throughout the history of medicine. What may be a therapeutic at a higher dose becomes a poison. Dr. Robert Malone on these vaccines, myocarditis, and dose dependency. Check this out.
It's now clear not only that these shots are clearly associated with cardiotoxicity, myocarditis, and pericarditis. Mm-hmm. There has been an attempt to minimize the nature and duration of that damage, but it's becoming more and more clear as the data are rolling in. Remember, we're still just, what, a year and a half after rollout of these vaccines, okay? Normally, it's 3 years after finishing the phase three before we go to licensure. We've rushed all this stuff out, and the data are coming in stronger and stronger that these are causing subclinical myocarditis may be occurring in the majority of vaccine recipients if you test the right enzymes, okay?
Wow.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Okay? Clinical myocarditis in boys in the Hong Kong study is a huge number. It's something like 1 in 2,000, 1 in 3,000 boys have to go to the hospital after typically their second dose. Then we have these data coming in that the myocarditis signal is cumulative. So if you take one dose, you have a lower risk. Two doses, it's higher. Three doses, it's still higher. So you have cumulative cardiotoxicity.
I mean, dose dependency tends to be, isn't that one of the major
hallmarks of pharmacology and toxicology?
Like if there's a red flag, it's the fact that dose dependency should be firing that off.
It's usually considered to be proof.
Science, folks. Data. We'll follow the science, and I hope and pray that as the longitudinal, chronological, over time data starts to filter in on the vaccine, we obviously don't have that because they haven't been around that long. I can only hope and pray that it doesn't result in a systemic problem with this thing. But if you think for a minute, again, as I started out the show, I'd like to weave everything together, that I'm going to be intimidated from speaking the truth about the hard science and data, tried and true principles of science, like dose dependency, you are out of your mind. I will not. I will double down more. And thankfully, I'm on platforms that are censorship resistant. That reminds me, before I get to the next, I'm going to get to the elections today. A couple things to look out for. And then jump. Yeah, I got a lot more to get. It's a really loaded show. Also a video of a 4-star general who put out this is just ridiculous. Let me get to this. Okay. Just a quick note of sad comic relief. This is a Barry McCaffrey, who is a military analyst, works at some of these networks out there or does some commentary over there, I should say. And he posted onto his Twitter feed this video of what appears to be the takedown of some Russian jets in Ukraine. But there's a problem with the video. So play that video. We'll talk about it. Like, wow, man, Ukrainians are doing a good job.
Yeah.
What's the problem with that? Folks, it's a video game. That's footage from a video game. Listen, man, these are serious times. People make mistakes. I get it. I don't want to pile on the guy, but, that's why I tell everybody, temperature down. Facts, data, reason. Don't get baited into the Dan Crenshaw, Adam Kinzinger approach to everything, that anyone who dares ask questions in a constitutional republic about what we're doing with our money and what we're doing to prevent World War III, that all of a sudden you're pro-Russia. Stop. Just let those guys howl and bark all they want. We'll continue to be reasonable and do our thing. Okay. So big election day today. I can't get off the air without mentioning this. So here's a couple of things to look for. Number one, the Pennsylvania Senate race is obviously at the top of mind. Why? For a number of reasons. Whoever wins that Senate race in Pennsylvania may very well tip the tide of the Senate. It may. We'll see. We'll see how well it goes. But we need a good candidate. The three front runners right now, Kathy Barnett, she was on my radio show yesterday, Mehmet Oz, otherwise known as Dr. Oz, and Dave McCormick. Those three, depending on what poll you look at, Oz appears to be in front, Barnett a close second, and McCormick has fallen off a little bit. Now, folks, it's not the only race going on out there. I will say to you today that I think all of those candidates have their strong points and their weak points. I had Kathy Barnett on my radio show yesterday. She was very impressive. Mehmet Oz never got back to us. Dave McCormick did just yesterday. We put it out a week ago, and McCormick's team couldn't make it work. So that's on them. We gave them an opportunity. One of them didn't want it. The other one just couldn't make it. The Pennsylvania Senate race, however, is not the only thing today to pay attention to, even though it's sucking up all the attention in the room. There's a primary down in North Carolina for the congressional seat currently held by Madison Cawthorn. There's been a lot of stuff leaked out about this guy. It appears like the establishment folks don't really like him down there. He's running against Chuck Edwards. Madison Cawthorn, I believe Trump endorsed him. So keep an eye on that primary. That's in North Carolina. That's an important primary, too. We'll see what happens there. I know Tillis, the senator down there, and Cawthorn really genuinely hate each other. So that'll be interesting. Keep your eye on that. Next, Ted Budd. North Carolina Senate race. He's the Trump-endorsed candidate. Appears to be in the lead over Pat McCrory. So we'll see what happens again there. I'll give you the update on that tomorrow. I'm giving you things to look out for. Obviously, you'll see the power of the Trump endorsement tomorrow when we have the results, or late tonight. Idaho, Janice McGeechan out there, the lieutenant governor, is running against the governor there. We'll see what's going on with that race. She has a lot of grassroots support. See what happens with that. But one of the things I want you to pay very, very close attention to is the North Carolina Supreme Court. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two seats open. Now, the primaries are happening today, just to be clear. One of the seats is not going to be primary because there's only one Republican candidate. But the second seat, I believe it's seat 5. This is very important. Trey Allen and April Wood are running as the Republicans. Make sure you pick your candidate right. Because, folks, the Democrats, oddly enough, control the North Carolina Supreme Court on a 4-3 basis. Those two seats that are open are Democrat seats. We win those two seats, we take back the North Carolina Supreme Court, which has been devastating for the rule of law because the Democrats keep overruling the Republicans on things like redistricting. Very, very important thing to keep your eye on. Don't let those races get lost in the wind of the Oz-McCormick-Barnett fight. That's important. But there are other things to keep our eye on, too. If you're in North Carolina, pay very close attention to that Supreme Court seat 5. Pick your candidate right. Okay. One quick note before I get to Jean-Pierre. Karine Jean-Pierre is already in day one setting herself up to be worse than Jen Psaki. Why do I say that? Psaki was a liar, but at times was a skilled one because she really doesn't have a lot of dignity. Like, she didn't really care about lying. She would just lie, and that's a skill. If you feel bad about lying, you know, you're not really good at it. You get what I'm saying? Jean-Pierre is a liar. She's not as skilled at the lying, but she's not as skilled at deflection and manipulation either. You'll see what I mean in a second answering this question. She's just clearly a train wreck. She's too busy calling everybody racist. If you watch yesterday's show, you know what I mean. But one quick note, folks, there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. We are under attack again, of course. It's not working. We're getting used to it now. We're pretty well fortified. But if you're using Stripe to process payments on your website, which most people do, I'm telling you, folks, dump them now. Join us, paralleleconomy.com. I hate to plug this kind of stuff on my show, but I put my livelihood into this. I'm really genuinely concerned that the use of this tragedy in Buffalo is going to get worse over time, all of this stuff. And they are going to start to target people like they did after January 6th, where they started eliminating people off the internet. Just fortify your business now. We're there for you. It's ParallelEconomy.com. We are there for you against censorship and against attacks. Fortify your business now. Don't wait until they try to take you there. They're already setting this stuff up. Give us a shot. We're there to help you out. All right. Okay, moving on. Jean-Pierre, totally, completely unprepared. She was asked a question yesterday. Again, she's too busy calling people racist, by Peter Ducey about how a question we've asked often, like how exactly do tax hikes, sucking more money out of the economy, how does that lower prices and benefit Americans who need more money right now to pay for higher prices? How does that work exactly? Listen to this word salad mess of an answer. And then she goes in with the talking point here. The left needs to pay their fair share. The recycled talking point from the 80s on. Check this out.
How does raising taxes on corporations lower the cost of gas, the cost of a used car, the cost of food for everyday Americans?
So look, I think we encourage those who have done very well, right, especially those who care about climate change, to support a fair tax code that doesn't change, that doesn't charge manufacturers, workers, cops, builders a higher percentage of their earnings, that the most fortunate people in our nation, and not let that stand in the way of reducing energy costs and fighting this existential problem, if you think about that as an example, and to support basic collective bargaining rights as well, right? That's also important. But look, it is, you know, without having a fair tax code, which is what I'm talking about, then manufacturing workers, cops, you know, it's not fair for them to have to pay higher taxes than the folks who are not paying taxes at all.
Oh, what? Holy cow!
So again, when she's not busy calling you a racist and attacking Fox and Trump and blah blah blah, you've heard it all before. She is obviously grossly unprepared for this position.
Wow.
I don't know what that was. It was a word salad of nonsense, but she left at the end by saying something so ridiculous, only a Biden supporter or a liberal would believe it, that the rich don't pay taxes, the rich or the wealthy. So again, all you have to do is put it in a search engine. It's really not hard. Leftists can't do that. They don't know how to type or read most of the time. That's really sad. But here's the Heritage Foundation, which did it in visual form in case you have a difficult time, you know, reading this kind of stuff. Here is the share of income earned by the richest and the share of income taxes paid. The top 1% for the left, that means 1 out of 100 people. I know you have a tough time with math, right? People making close to $1 million plus, what is that, $540,000 plus a year, that's top 1%. They earn 21% of the income in the country. Now, according to Jean-Pierre, they pay nothing, 0%. She just said it, right? They pay no tax. You just heard it, correct? So they earn 21% of the income, the top 1%. They pay 40% of the taxes. So 1 out of 100 people in the United States pays $40 of every $100 in income taxes. Wait, Jean-Pierre just said they pay nothing. Folks, you understand, like, only idiots believe this? Don't be an idiot. You know my other rule? Don't get dead. Don't be an idiot. Like, don't be a leftist. Don't be a moron. You may say, well, top 1%, that sounds like a lot. They pay 40%. Yeah, look at the top 2 to 5%. They pay an additional 20. So when you look at the top 5% of our income earners, they pay 60. So 60%. So think about it. $60 of every $100 in income taxes is paid by 5 out of 100 people. Man, that's weird. Then you add another 11% more. So 71% of taxes is paid by the top 10%. So 10 out of 100 people pay $71 of every $100 in U.S. taxes. But I thought Jean-Pierre just told us no one paid. Shame on you for listening to this dunce in the White House, who is a liar. And again, it's just an incompetent liar, unlike Psaki, who had a little bit more lying skills. Now, what are their priorities? Well, of course, hiking taxes, open borders, attacking conservatives, wipe us off the internet. By the way, I brought up Parallel Economy before, not by accident. I don't just, you notice, I have a lot of companies. I don't just randomly promote them all the time. It actually happened today. They're already piling on using this tragedy to go. I'm not going to say who did it because I don't want to bring any attention to their stuff. It already happened this morning. They are trying to get conservatives kicked off the internet.
Don't wait till it happens to you. That's the reason. I don't want you to think I just threw that in there randomly. This is their priority right now. That, here's another one. Washington Free Beacon, story in the newsletter. The cruelty is the point. Biden drops billions on bike lanes and speed cameras. Boy. This is apparently a Pete Buttigieg priority. Buttigieg. You know, Buttigieg, the bike guy. Remember this video? Buttigieg, his security team in the armored SUV, the Tahoe or the Suburban, drives up with the bike rack on the back. They get within a little bit of the White House, and Buttigieg gets off and then rides his bike, what, the last couple hundred feet to make it look like he's a real bike rider? Here, check this out. You can see it yourself. Bike. Folks, and please, if you're listening on audio, please go to my Rumble account, watch that, rumble.com/Bongino. It goes on longer. We had to cut it a little short because there's not a lot of sound in it. It's Buttigieg, again, getting off the bike, getting on the bike right near the White House to make it seem like he bikes to work. Now, we're spending $5 billion on bike lanes. We got an inflation problem, a public safety problem. We got an open border problem. We got a war going on in Ukraine. Folks, it's Florida. It's Florida. We don't want your bike lanes. It's like 100 degrees down here. We're good. We're good. How about you just take the $5 billion you were going to spend, don't spend it, and cut the tax rate so we don't have to keep hiking taxes and sucking money out of the economy and making people who are job creators pay more. There's an idea. All right, folks, I got to roll. Don't miss the radio show later. Really appreciate it. Please go to my Rumble account, rumble.com/Bongino. Check it out, subscribe, and check us out as well at ParallelEconomy.com. Get away from these people, folks. They're already looking for opportunities to censor you. See you on the radio show later.
You just heard Dan Bongino.